This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi. We all know smoking destroys our health, but despite the well-known consequences, smokers struggle to quit the addictive nicotine found in a rolled-up tobacco. Yet it's the burning of tobacco that releases thousands of toxic chemicals that cause the most damage, not nicotine. In contrast to tobacco cigarettes, e-cigarettes provide nicotine without burning tobacco. So, would e-cigarettes help reduce the harm brought about by smoking, or are they just as bad as tobacco for public health? Professor Dr. Jerry Stimson, a public health sociologist from Imperial College, explains more about e-cigarettes. Welcome to the show, Professor. How are you today?
I'm fine. Hello.
Would you like to just go through with me how e-cigarettes work?
Well, they're a pretty simple device. All of them have got a battery. They've got a container with nicotine in a fluid and a heating coil. And as you inhale, the heating coil is activated and you inhale nicotine, which is mixed with propylene glycol as a propellant. And you're also inhaling some flavorings to make it taste nice. So they're all very simple devices. There's quite a fast-moving product development. The first ones, often called the first-generation ones, were called cigar-like. So they actually look a little bit like a cigarette, you know, in color and shape. But more sophisticated ones can be refilled with a choice of nicotine strength and a choice of flavorings. And even more sophisticated ones, you can adjust the temperature at which the nicotine fluid vaporizes. So you've got more control over the product. So fast moving development of products. And I think we're going to see a lot more different ones in the future.
And what are the distinct different features if you were to compare the traditional cigarette and an e-cigarette?
Well, a traditional cigarette is a pretty nasty thing to use. I mean, it's the most dangerous nicotine delivery device that's ever been invented. Because when you burn tobacco, you're releasing about 4,000 toxicants. In fact, about 40% of the smoke that you inhale is combustion byproducts, and about 35% is carbon monoxide. So those things are not good for you. But when you inhale nicotine from a vaporizer, from an e-cigarette, you're not getting all those toxic byproducts of the combustion.
But there is nicotine in an e-cigarette.
Correct.
So what are we actually trying to achieve here?
We're trying to get people who are addicted to nicotine through smoking, or people who really like using nicotine, we're trying to shift them from the most toxic way of consuming it. They're still getting the nicotine, but they're not getting the tars and gases that will very likely affect their health and will kill about 50% of them. So you're making a safer nicotine delivery device for people who are really unable to stop nicotine. A lot of people want to stop smoking. Find it very difficult to, because they find it very difficult to give up the nicotine. So what the e-cigarette does, it kind of takes away all the dangerous substances. But yes, people are still using nicotine, and many e-cigarette users are still addicted to nicotine. But they're not going to damage their health in the way they will if they continue smoking cigarettes.
So what is the function of the e-cigarette? To wean you off smoking altogether, or is it just a safer way of consuming nicotine?
It's to wean you off smoking, so it's to help you shift from smoking to a safer way of using nicotine. So it's, in fact, what many electronic cigarette users say, I'm not quitting. You know, because we got this language of quitting. You know, people quit cigarettes, mm-hmm. and they try to quit for good, but they are switching, and it's an interesting kind of concept, because they are still using nicotine, but they've quit smoking, so they've quit the most damaging aspect of their addiction.
But nicotine is addictive.
Nicotine is addictive. Yes, nicotine in e-cigarettes is probably slightly less addictive than when you get it from smoking cigarettes. Because when you smoke cigarettes, you release a lot of other compounds which probably enhance the addiction. So there are what are called monoamine oxidase inhibitors which in smoked tobacco, which probably make addiction to cigarettes stronger than addiction to nicotine in e-cigarettes. I mean, we're just finding out more about this, but it looks like it's eventually easier to quit nicotine if you're shifting from an e-cigarette to stop using nicotine than if you're trying to do it by stopping smoking.
What is the process to then wean yourself off nicotine in an e-cigarette?
Well, it's not necessarily the end goal, but for those who wish to wean themselves off e-cigarettes, then the process is really a gradual reduction in the strength of the nicotine that is being consumed from the e-cigarette. But let me say this quite categorically. Many people who use e-cigarettes and have stopped smoking don't necessarily intend to stop using nicotine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But e-cigarettes, Professor, has only gained prominence in the past 10 years, and
yes,
mostly in Europe and North America. And is 10 years and 10 years of study, is that reliable enough to be sure about the health impact of e-cigarettes?
Well, you're quite right. These are new products. They were invented in 2003. They started to gain popularity in Europe and North America from sort of 2007 onwards. Rapid expansion in use. The science is very fast moving. You know, if you were talking to me 2 years ago, there'd be a lot of uncertainty about what's in them and what the effects are. But there's a huge expansion in the scientific knowledge now in terms of what's in the liquid, what's in the vapor, and what we can call biomarkers, you know, looking at what toxins are actually absorbed into the body via e-cigarettes. And in a minute, I can say what there might be in them. What we don't have, of course, is the sort of 5, 10, 20-year epidemiological studies, because they've not been around for that long. But we have to extrapolate from what we know in terms of what's in them in comparison with tobacco. And looking at what's in them in comparison with tobacco, there's no doubt in my mind that they're much safer than smoking tobacco.
Why are you such an advocate of e-cigarettes?
It's interesting. I'm a semi-retired public health social scientist. I'm coming up for 70. I haven't smoked cigarettes myself for about 40 years, and I don't use electronic cigarettes. But I had a long history in looking at harm reduction, a long academic history and policy history in looking at harm reduction for other substances. You know, I was very much involved in AIDS and HIV harm reduction. And when I saw e-cigarettes, I thought, well, look, this is actually something that is now kind of a solution, another bit of the sort of a new aid to getting people away from smoking. So, a safer product, something which is probably 95-99% safer than smoking tobacco, seems to me an obvious solution. And also, in my studies in addiction over, too many decades, I know how hard it is for people to give up addictions. So if you can reduce the impact of those addictions on their health, that is all for the good. That's why I am an ardent advocate.
And I suppose because you've always been looking at the masses as opposed to just a small group of people, so you see the benefits on a larger scale more than anything else.
Yes, I would. I mean, I think the experience in the United Kingdom is quite interesting, because we now have around, good survey estimates, around 2.1 million people using electronic cigarettes, smokers using electronic cigarettes.
In the UK?
In the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, around 700,000 have quit smoking altogether.
Wow.
That's a huge number. And in the period in which e-cigarettes have become popular, we've seen a sudden decrease in the prevalence of smoking. Now, you can't say from the data cause and effect, but smoking prevalence in adult smoking prevalence in England was 24% in 2007, mm-hmm. and it's now dropped to around 18%. So all the trends in smoking prevalence are down. So we're trying to, it's a bit of a jigsaw, because there are
other factors that
have contributed. Yeah, but the fact is that smoking has continued to decrease in the UK and at a faster rate than previously in the period when e-cigarettes have become popular.
You helped prepare guidelines on tobacco harm reduction for the UK's National Institute of Health. how did you push forth these policies? Because you also have to look after the industry. Were you not under a lot of pressure when you put forward these guidelines?
The guidelines, at the time they were written, were extremely cautious about e-cigarettes because the National Health Service guidelines on tobacco harm reduction had to be very careful about advocating for products which are relatively, for which the regulation is relatively poor, and we can come on to that in a minute, how that's changing. So there was a cautious endorsement of electronic cigarettes, but an endorsement in those guidelines saying that the long-term use of nicotine, as in nicotine replacement therapy, is something which is probably to be, is okay. So that idea of a harm reduction approach to smoking using a variety of nicotine products was endorsed by the NICE committee, as it's called, but it was extremely cautious on e-cigarettes at the time because this was sort of a couple of years ago now. But we know much more about the science, and I think within about 18 months we're going to have the main public health body within the National Health Service in the UK, called Public Health England. I think we're going to see an endorsement of e-cigarettes.
How did you get the tobacco companies to buy in?
The tobacco companies, it's a fast-changing market. A lot of the original e-cigarette products are imported into the UK mainly by sort of fairly small enterprises, a few larger companies. What's happened in the last 3 or 4 years is that tobacco companies have seen an advanced decrease in their sales of cigarettes. They were decreasing in any case, but a quicker decrease than before, and some stock market analysts predict that in the US e-cigarettes might overtake tobacco cigarettes within about 10 years. I mean, they're not all saying that, but that's quite extraordinary. So I think tobacco companies are now kind of under threat because they've been selling these awful things that you burn. And they're losing their market. So what do they do? So defensively, many tobacco companies are now moving into the e-cigarette products. It still only accounts for...
As I mentioned, you advised the UK government.
Yes.
As well as the World Health Organization. What sort of an impact do you think the WHO has? What is the WHO's stand in all of this? Because this debate about e-cigarettes continues, and it is going to continue going forward. When do you think the WHO is actually going to make a stand?
It's a very confusing and difficult world for policymakers and international organizations. I've advised WHO not on this, but on other aspects of addiction quite a while ago now. WHO took a very... 2 years ago, WHO was advocating for a prohibition on these products. End of last year, the most recent major meeting, more acceptance, but still unclear signs from WHO about what countries could or should do. So they're saying countries can do anything from treat them, prohibit them or treat them as medical products or as tobacco products or as consumer products. So no clear guidance on the regulatory options. And in fact, the most recent WHO report comes up with, if you like, more of a kind of consumer model, recommending controls of advertising, product standards and so on. So not clear guidance to countries at the moment from WHO, which leaves a lot of countries a bit uncertain about what to do.
Okay. Do you see it's improving? I mean, how do you get everybody on board?
It's a big struggle. I think governments need to be very cautious not to close off options here. So some governments have already rushed to ban. Thailand, Singapore, Australia.
The ban of e-cigarettes.
Yes, to ban they're not legally available. But interestingly, even in countries where nicotine is not legally available, like in Australia, there's actually quite high use of e-cigarettes because you can't actually stop these products coming into the country or being sold. So Other countries have done a medicines licensing route, but these are not really medical products. They're not used as medical products, and medicines licensing is very cumbersome. So the aim, I think, is sensible and light touch consumer regulation, where you make sure you improve consumer confidence, but you don't drive these products off the market. If you ban them, you've got no control at all. You know, you've got no control of product quality. So you need light touch consumer regulation.
And you know, it's highly available on the internet.
Yeah.
You can buy the filling, if that's what you want to call. Or how do you refer to the stuff that people are buying online, Professor?
You can buy the devices and the liquids online.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, and the electronic device, and you can buy the liquids online as well.
Okay, and you know, the liquids is one, what you are concerned about, if it's not properly regulated as well.
We need to... There is the liquid, and then there's the interaction between the liquid and the device.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to set product standards. Now, we know from the testing of many different products that the liquids contain anything from sort of 100 to 100th to 1,000th of toxins that you'd find in cigarettes. But you need to assure customers that there are not going to be things in the liquids that are going to harm them.
Okay.
So you need products regulation about what's in them, and you need some toxicity testing, and that can be achieved through regulation.
We'll come back and find out more about toxicity regulation up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. If you have just joined us, we're discussing e-cigarettes. Can they actually reduce the harm of smoking or not? This debate continues all over the world. Some countries have actually banned e-cigarettes. Professor Dr. Jerry Stimson, who's a public health sociologist, social scientist actually, emeritus chair at Imperial College, is on the line with me discussing this. Professor Stimson is actually a huge advocate of e-cigarettes and helping smokers either get out of the idea of smoking or, you know, to use e-cigarettes as an alternative because it's a lot safer. Professor, a study from Johns Hopkins University found that the vapor from e-cigarettes actually contain free radicals, which are toxins that can damage cells. What are your thoughts on that?
There are two issues. One is the presence of toxins in e-cigarettes. Secondly, the level and exposure. It's not just examining what's in them, but how much people will be exposed to over time. And there have been two reports lately, there was one in the New England Journal of Medicine recently, showing high levels of formaldehyde being released.
That's right.
Under certain conditions. But to be very clear, in this study, they operated the e-cigarettes at a very high temperature. And at a high temperature, you do get the interaction between the nicotine and the flavorings and the heating coil. And so when you drive an e-cigarette at a temperature above its normal operating temperature, then you'll have the release of higher levels of formaldehyde. But e-cigarette users know this. They call it the dry puff condition. They don't like the taste. So an e-cigarette operated at the right level is actually producing much less of all the toxins than you'd have in regular cigarettes. I compare it to burning toast. If you burn toast, you create carcinogens, but you don't like eating it. So e-cigarette users know there is something wrong when the temperature is high. So we have to be look very carefully at these experiments about how far they replicate normal use.
Are there other toxins in e-cigarettes?
There are, and there's a very interesting study just released looking at the presence of 55 potentially harmful or harmful constituents, carbon monoxides, carbonyls, volatile organic compounds and metals, and what are called tobacco-specific nitrosamines. These are cancer-inducing products. And they compared e-cigarettes in a machine testing, a puffing machine. They compared e-cigarettes with regular cigarettes, Marlboro and Lambert and Butler, and compared it with the normal air in the laboratory. And the level of harmful constituents in the e-cigarettes, it was about 2 micrograms per puff, but in regular cigarettes it was 3,000 micrograms per puff. So 1,500 times higher in the tobacco than in the e-cigarette. Interestingly, also there was hardly any difference between the e-cigarette aerosol and the room air in terms of the toxicants. So there are things there, but they're at such low level that I don't think we really need to be that concerned. And the big question always is not the question, are they safe? Because most things are not safe. A lot of things around our household are not safe. But how much safer are they than smoking tobacco? And I think the judgment on that is now pretty clear.
So the lesser of two evils, really.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You're right. I mean, formaldehyde exists in, you know, new homes and, you know,
exactly.
paint and stuff
yes.
like that. And, you know, carbon monoxide, let's not even go there.
Right, okay.
You just walk out and you're inhaling carbon monoxide.
Yes.
How are public health officers and tobacco control agencies responding to e-cigarettes?
I think they find it a challenge and it makes them nervous, because tobacco control and public health people have quite rightly pursued a very strong and in many countries successful campaign against smoking cigarettes. You know, with bans on smoking in public places, health promotion against tobacco, health warnings on tobacco packs, you know, making it difficult to sell and difficult to buy and to use tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
When these things come along, kind of, there's a bit of a kind of a gut reaction saying, don't really like the look of this because it kind of looks like a cigarette. Will it undermine everything we've done? You know, will it renormalize smoking? Will children start to use them? So a lot of nervousness amongst some tobacco control experts. But we do have, you know, quite good examples now where there's a stronger acceptance of these products. I think the UK is heading in the right direction. I think the European Union is sort of heading in the right direction. I've got some reservations about some new legislation, but I think the scientists are a bit ahead of the public health and tobacco control experts. But you know, in the UK, we have our major anti-smoking NGO, it's Action on Smoking and Health. And they're supportive of e-cigarettes. They see them as an important tool to help people shift away from smoking. So that's good. But, you know, it's new and it creates uncertainty.
We're always discussing e-cigarettes as a tool to move away from the traditional cigarette. Are you not concerned that the younger generation would pick up e-cigarettes as a way of smoking?
The evidence is a little bit different in different countries. In the surveys in the UK, e-cigarette use amongst teens, younger people, is almost non-existent and almost all confined to those who've already experimented with smoking. You know, undoubtedly, young people are going to look at these things and give them a try. In the US, there has been an increase in use amongst young people, mm-hmm. but the surveys need to be taken a bit cautiously because most of the surveys count you as an e-cigarette user even if you just had one puff in the last month. So I think they're picking up on a lot of experimentation rather than the longer-term commitment. But we don't see any evidence of, you know, even amongst the very small number of people who've used e-cigarettes who've not been smokers, hardly any evidence that e-cigarette use leads to smoking cigarettes. All the indications are in the other direction because in the US, for example, teen smoking is continuing to decline. And in the UK, teen smoking is declining. So we don't see e-cigarettes as changing. You know, the evidence is that e-cigarettes are not changing the good downward trends in smoking.
Liquid and device interaction is something you spoke about earlier. What is the state of regulatory structure of e-cigarettes production as well as the development of it?
It is moving ahead, and in the UK, by May, we will have a British standards for e-cigarettes. It will be the first in the world. So this will be guidance on what should be in them and what shouldn't be in them, on toxicity and testing emissions and so on and so forth. Similarly, in France, there's a new standard being developed, and there'll soon be a European standard. The European Standards Agency is developing a standard. We also, in the UK, have an advertising standard, so a regulation about what you can say and what you can't say about e-cigarettes in the media. So these are sort of very practical ways in which you can move forward with sensible regulation. Within 2 years, there'll be the introduction of standards across the Europe, because there's some new European legislation on e-cigarettes, which will be implemented by all the European countries by 2016. That's going to be stricter than the standards we'll have soon in the UK. And there's some downsides to the EU regulation. But in most countries where these products are available, some standards they're already covered by some existing standards, you know, electrical products, battery products. But what's not covered is the nicotine, and that's the missing gap for regulation and standards.
So we should have regulation for that?
You should have regulation, but the regulation should not disadvantage e-cigarettes compared with regular cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a huge, you know, if you've got a large cigarette market, which is relatively unregulated, if you introduce tougher regulation for e-cigarettes, you're driving out the safer product, and that's kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be very careful not to, in designing the regulation, you've got to be very careful not to inadvertently end up favoring smoked tobacco, you know, cigarettes, because that's not the public health outcome we would want.
What do you think would be the consequences of countries who have indeed banned e-cigarettes?
Well, you lose the ability to implement product standards, because you can't have a product standard for something you've banned. Secondly, you're denying people good access to a product which I think can save their lives. So you're, in a way, protecting tobacco. If you ban e-cigarettes, you're protecting regular cigarettes.
What about people who resort to buying e-cigarettes online? Are there dangers to that?
Probably minimal, but interestingly, we don't have any reports of serious adverse effects from e-cigarettes, despite a relatively unregulated market. I mean, when you do surveys of e-cigarette users, I mean, the levels of adverse effects, immediate adverse effects, are very low. We don't have, there are two sort of uncorroborated reports of deaths of infants from ingestion of nicotine, but these are media reports. We have reports of an increase in reports of to U.S. poison centers, but they're tiny in comparison with other reports. So even in a relatively unregulated market at the moment, it doesn't seem that nasty things are happening. But I would like to make sure they don't. You know, I'd like to make sure there are things, you know, the things that shouldn't be in them aren't in them. You know, so I don't think there's a huge danger from online sales, but I'd like to have greater consumer safeguards.
What are the implications for the future trends of e-cigarettes and, you know, smoked tobacco?
Well, this is a bit of future scanning. We know there are a large number of e-cigarette users in many countries, and the numbers are increasing. The latest estimates for the US, I believe, are around 15 to 20 million users in the US. Estimates that the global e-cigarette market will rise from 5 billion now to 15 billion by 2018. So I think with the right kind of regulation, we'll see an increase in uptake of e-cigarettes and a continuing decline in smoking. Now, my comments, I think, are mainly applied to the richer countries. The scenario for poorer countries is a little less certain.
your message on e-cigarettes?
I think that this is one of the most important disruptive innovations in this century. In 1880, a man called Bonsack invented the cigarette rolling machine, which enabled production of vast numbers of cigarettes and led to cigarettes overtaking other forms of tobacco. I think the e-cigarette is in turn the next disruptive innovation, which is going to change the way people use nicotine and lead us away from these huge harms we get from smoking cigarettes.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us, Professor.
Thank you very much.
Professor Dr. Jerry Stimson, who is a public health sociologist, Emeritus Chair at Imperial College on e-cigarettes. Can they reduce the harm of smoking? On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.